All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's your Uncle Jimmy coming out of your speakers and earbuds. Bring your grease to wheels, the Automotive Technician Podcast from the Rock and Roll Garage, the heavenly confines of the Rock and Roll Garage. Yeah. Hey, weekly, how you doing? Appreciate what you're doing kind of thing going on here. Seriously, greatly appreciate what you're doing. Keep it up. Doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much. Planet doesn't go anywhere without you. Goes fucking nowhere without you guys. All right. So thank you very much. Hey, I want to make it a short one because I'm kind of rocking a little bit of a cold kind of stuffy nose thing, and I might even sound different. I don't know. I don't know what I sound like. When I listen to this podcast, sometimes I go, who the fuck is that asshole? Oh, yeah. And then I remember it's me. And honestly, just like you, sometimes I don't like some of the things that I say. And then I hear them later and go, oh, did you really say that? You fucking retard. Hey, moving on. Let's move forward. Let's move up. Hey, I want to talk to you today about driving cars and, of course, keeping with the Beatles theme. Today's podcast is called Drive My Car. Baby, you can drive my car. I don't know how you feel about this, and I think we all have a very different take on this, and I think every single one of us has, quite frankly, a very different take on it. And I wanted to kind of chime in with a bunch of stuff on this, if you don't mind. I'm going to try to keep it short today, if you don't mind. When it comes to driving our customers' cars, I got to say, quite frankly, I dislike it a great deal. Lots of times, and I've got some odd stories about this, of course, you know, and I know that a lot of you guys do too. And, you know, seriously, one of the things I want to say before I get too far into this is if you've got a story or some kind of an incident that happened to you or something, you know, maybe that you might think is humorous or maybe it was dirty or dastardly or whatever, go ahead and hit us up on our Facebook page and drop us a note and maybe, you know, give us a line or two about what happened or a paragraph. It could be long. I don't mind. I know how to read. But seriously, I know a lot of goofy things happen before, during, and after test drives with cars. Some of them good, some of them not so good, some of them downright bad. Some very horrible things have happened on test drives that I'm familiar with. I'll give you a little peek into that, but I want to kind of try to keep that as discreet as possible if I can. One of the things that I notice probably the most about cars that I have to drive, that I test drive, and quite frankly, folks, I know a lot of you dislike it too, and some of you just downright don't even seem to do it ever at all. I do it probably more often than a lot of the techs in the shop I'm working in. Some of them, I swear to God, I never see them test drive anything, which is okay. I mean, I'm not running anybody's life here. Let me just get that straight with you. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to do anything. Anytime I make suggestions on the podcast, that's exactly what they are, is just straight up suggestions. You know, I want you to try to live your best life and have a good time doing it and be happy and well-liked and well-loved. And I'm really not sure how that works, but I would never instruct you as far as what to do. And in fact, I hate that a great deal. As a matter of fact, whenever somebody asks me about something on a car, what I'll typically say is, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what I would do. And then you can use your own best judgment to do what you want to do. Because quite frankly, there are things that I will do to a car, repairs I'll make, whether they're upright or sometimes a little janky, maybe just to get the job done, or maybe I take a little different route to the repair. And the same with the test drives. I would not tell any of you, not one soul on this planet, how to do anything. I will simply tell you what I would do, and then you can use your own best judgment, which is probably something I didn't use, to be quite frank with you. Some of the things that go on in the shop, and we've had this discussion a few times with management, and it kind of shows you how out of touch management really is sometimes with what exactly we do and what our job is and why we do it and the way we do it. I think that in their minds, and I've heard a few of them say this, a few different service managers we've had saying, why don't you test drive the car before you look at it? Because that could be, quite frankly, that could be fucking fatal. And I mean that honestly. I have seen cars, and I don't want to give them a shout out, but I'm gonna put them on a little bit of blast. There's an app out there, a group of people collecting content called Just Rolled In, and some of the shit that if you've looked at any of that stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Just Rolled In, and they're on Facebook and they're on YouTube and stuff like that. Sometimes Instagram even. They get some cars, they get videos from technicians And some of these videos are of cars that should never, ever, ever, ever have rolled in. And sometimes they roll in and that's as far as they roll, and they go nowhere after that because they're so fucking horrible. And this is something that I think that management doesn't seem to understand when they try to tell us that we should test drive every car before we even work on it, before we look at it. I go, well, you know, that's a nice thing to think. Okay. And maybe you think that that's smart, and I can't completely disagree with that. You're definitely going to want to test drive some of the cars just to kind of duplicate the concern. And maybe even if we wanted to kind of go down the path of doing absolutely everything 100% correctly, according to Hoyle, we would take, if we have a suspension or a drivability concern from a customer about his car, that we should take that fucking customer for a ride in their fucking car so they can point out to us what the fucking problem is. And what I find is, and I do this, I don't do this at all. I'm not in a position where I need to do this, but sometimes our shop foreman are, and they'll take a ride with a customer. And I think many times, I don't have any statistics, but I think many times the customer can't duplicate the concern. They can't go, well, it does it on my road, or it does it when I leave my driveway, but it does not doing it now. And I go, you know, and the foreman always say something like, well, you know, if it's not doing it, I can't diagnose it, and then therefore I can't really fix it. So, you know, make a list of what it is it's doing and when it does it, and what maybe like the weather is outside. Okay. So like if it's cold or if it's wet, or if it's even if it's like raining or snowing, or if the sun's blazing, you know what I mean? Because the temperatures on this planet range very wildly from zero all the way up to about 110 and can do that in some places in a single day. Also, too, there's different road types. There's different road conditions. And also, too, different altitudes. Believe it or not, that can make a big difference. So, you know, if you're going to be working on something and you got like a drivability concern, maybe a suspension noise, or maybe the tires are too loud, or maybe the steering wheel's off, the alignment's off, whatever, you might want to drive it before you look at it. But like I said earlier, this could lead to disaster. Suppose you got some sort of component in there that's just barely hanging on, and the customer drives in and they're lucky to have made it to your shop. And then you go and you take it for a test drive, and the next thing you know, you're watching a wheel bounce across three lanes, and you haven't touched that car. All you did was get in, turn the key, put it in drive, and drive out the driveway to take a test drive in it before you fucking look at it. So that's something, and I as mechanic and with other mechanics that I know, we're of the opinion that we should look at the fucking thing on a lift before we test drive it, to kind of avoid that kind of concern. Now, how often does that happen? Well, I got to tell you, all it's got to do is happen to me one fucking time, and that shit's over, Jack. I'm not gonna get out on the highway with some pile of shit that's being held together with bubble gum and baling twine and fucking USB cables and have shit come apart on me 3/4 of a mile down the road, possibly hurt myself, somebody else, and maybe even a fucking school bus full of cheerleaders. That would definitely be bad, okay? Now, once you get a car and it's got a drivability concern, I would think that the very first thing you'd want to do, throw it up in the air. The first thing I do, and I'm sure that you guys do the same sorts of things, is check the tire pressures, okay? Because a lot of people don't have any idea how to put air in a tire. And I'm not, you know, I want to say it sounds like a joke, and I really wish it was a joke, but it's not. It's not. I fill up all the tires on all the cars I work on, and they fucking need it. Nobody out there, I say it all the time, you know, you could put air in a tire. You know, it's just not going to. And this is why the government came along a few years ago and said, hey, we got to have tire pressure monitors in a car. And probably some wise guy on Capitol Hill said, well, why would we want to do that? Because people are not checking the tire pressures in their tires on their cars. And they're using a lot more gasoline and other fuels more than they should. And also, too, it gets to be a dangerous situation where they could slam into somebody and kill them. Maybe you, Senator. Okay, so let's enact this bill and make all the car manufacturers put tire pressure monitors in their fucking cars so that when the tire pressures go low, the people can scream and holler and drive into the dealership and go, I got a light out of my my car. Oh, my God, what is it? I'm going to explode. I don't even know what it is. It looks like half a pineapple or something. I don't know. What have people said the fucking tire pressure light looks like? I don't know. I haven't heard any of them. I'm sure that they're out there. The comb with the exclamation point light is on in my dash. Who even knows what the fuck people see when they see some of these lights, which are just basically international symbols now. I mean, even the check engine light in our cars is just a picture of an engine. And people look at that and go, what the fuck is that? Is that like a helicopter or something? It's ridiculous. It's like, that's not really helping anyone, okay? I mean, seriously, if you're a Spanish-speaking dude and a check engine light comes on and it says check engine soon or whatever it says, you could punch it into your phone or take a picture of it and something somewhere somehow will translate that for you, and you can go, oh, that's what the check engine light looks like. And what's it mean in Spanish? It's called an L check engine light. Oh, it's ridiculous. Okay. So the government gets involved and says, oh, we got to have tire pressure lights. Okay, great. So typically I might add, if one tire goes too low, or even if a pair of them go too low from where it was set, you'll get a light on in the dash. Nobody knows what that is. People are getting really good at ignoring shit. Did you notice that over the last few years? I have. And so you can have a problem there. So that's going to be the first thing you want to check. But then you're going to want to check all your suspension stuff, you know, your struts, your shocks, your springs, your wheel bearings, your brakes, especially. Of course, you would check them as you're pulling in on your lift. Okay. Then you might want to go for a test drive, and probably if you hear some sort of a noise or if it drives all cattywampus, you're going to have two things going for you. Number one, you're going to know that the suspension, the wheels, the tires, and the brakes and all that shit are basically sound. You know, they're not hanging on by a fucking cotter pin. And then number two, you're going to know if you got anything loose, you should be able to find it right away and not really even have to test drive the car. But if you don't see anything obvious, you can test drive it. At least you know it's not going to fail catastrophically a half a mile down the fucking road, okay? So that's my take, at least, on test drives and why you would want to do them, and then why you should do them at a specific time, obviously before repair, but after you've looked at the vehicle. And I got to say, I really think a lot of us shortchange this process, but I think you should test drive vehicles after a repair to make sure everything's all right. Because, and it's fucked up because, you know, as technicians, we can make mistakes, we can do things wrong. Just last week, I left the caliper bolt loose, apparently on a car. I'm pretty sure I did. I can't imagine somebody taking it out, but I can't imagine that, but it's not what happened. I left the caliper bolt loose and it fell out. And the weird thing is I had done brake pads on the car, and I actually drove it around the block. It's about a 4 mile drive around the block to burnish the brakes, to seat the brake pads. No problems. Customer gets their hands on it, gets down a road. Caliper bolt falls out completely, apparently. And I only say apparently because I don't know when it fell out. It didn't fall out while I was on my test drive. And then the caliper wedged itself into it, because only one bolt fell out. It wedged itself into the caliper bracket, ruined the bracket, ruined the rotors. The brand new brake pads were also destroyed. The caliper was fine, thank you, God. And so we had to put some new pads, rotors, caliper bracket on that car. And that was because your Uncle Jimmy apparently forgot to tighten up a bolt, and it happens. And what's weird is the test drive didn't really sort that out for me. I wish it had. I wish it had happened to me. I could have fixed it quickly and unknowing to the customer and even the staff at my place. But these are things that happen, and this is why the test drive is important, you know. And also, too, I want to just throw this in there, too. I have made, over the course of my 21 plus years, some colossal mistakes. Apparently I left the oil drain plug loose at one point in time and it fell out, and the customer kept going and absolutely fucking hand grenaded the engine. That was a couple of years ago. So what I wanted to kind of illustrate for you is that, you know, no matter how careful you try to be, and I definitely try to be careful, it doesn't work out sometimes. And, you gotta pay attention to what you're doing. And you got to be accurate. I say this all the time to the new people I work with. And I got to say it to myself every once in a while. We would really like to have accuracy. Speed will come later. Okay. So that's good advice for the old guys and the new guys. And when it comes to test driving, you should make an effort to test drive everything, because maybe you're fixing the air conditioning. Maybe you just charged up the air conditioning, found a leak, ordered a part, banged it in, and you test drove it and you found that the fucking brakes were bad. Now, maybe they didn't visually look bad, okay, because this can happen. Maybe they just had some serious warpage to them. And this is something that you would want to note to your customer. Say, listen, when you step on your brakes and the pedal just shoots back at you like you're running triplets, you know, like you're John Bonham playing triplets for Led Zeppelin, you got to get that fixed, okay, because you're going to get into a situation where you need the brakes to work. And when they work like that, they're not going to work properly and you may hit something. So what we really need to do is swap out your pads and rotors and get you back on the right track here. But they may have not even come in for something like that. And if you don't test drive it, you're not going to know. And conceivably, it could present itself as a safety problem for the customer. And also, too, it presents an opportunity for you to earn more money on that vehicle, doing the repairs to make it 100% safe, not just cool. Now, when I talk about driving cars, one of the other hazards, okay, now because when you're test driving a car, you're assuming at least, you know, it's kind of a, an honor system, really. You're assuming, if you drive it before you look at it anyway, you're assuming that the customer has taken some sort of care with the vehicle and that the vehicle is in drivable shape. Now, I work at a car dealer. Typically, our cars are much newer than some of those you might see at independents. So that's where I would be super diligent, is if I was working for an independent, because I know from experience, by the way, thank you very much, that some of the vehicles that come into independent repair shops are some of the biggest raging piles of shit you've ever fucking seen. And you know what, folks? It's not going to get any better because people can't afford new cars. And so they're driving old cars, and they're driving old cars longer. And sometimes when an old car needs repair and you don't have enough money to fix it, guess what doesn't get repaired? Yeah, your old car. So you start learning how to live without stuff like, yeah, you know, turn signals. Maybe they broke. Maybe you got a bad tire. Maybe you need brakes. Who knows? Maybe you got a tire out and it's ready to fall out. Maybe you know it. Maybe you don't know it as the owner. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to be very careful, very diligent if you're a technician at an indie, because with the average age of the automobile on the road now being somewhere in the 12-year-old range, you are going to start, and really you already have started, seeing some enormous piles of shit that are still rolling down the fucking road. I have had many. And I remember one very clearly. This woman rolled in. She had a car that was probably at the time about 15 years old. And at the time when it was new, it was one of the most high-tech and advanced and expensive cars out there. It was a very highly sought-after model of a very high-line car. And but it had it deteriorated very rapidly into an amazing, just an absolute stunningly amazing pile of shit. It really was a crap wagon, just an absolute crap wagon. And she comes in, and all she wants is to have the door lock fixed so she can lock the fucking thing up. But when I put it on the lift, that the tires were just barely being held on by the control arms. They were about ready to fall out. The ball joints were ready to fall out. The tire ends were sloppy. The tires were bald with cords showing on both sides and in the middle. The brakes were bad. Everything, every fucking thing about this car was bad. Everything. You name it, it was bad. And the worst part about it was there was a child seat in the back. In the back seat, there was a child seat back there. And I'm thinking, this is really... not, this is endangerment, you know, endangering the welfare of a child with this car. And what's funny is I started to look it over and I started to make a list of what was wrong with this car before I even, you know, made the estimate for this lock cylinder that it needed. And the list ended up being, quite frankly, unbelievable to me, a list of absolutely everything on the fucking car. It was everything. It needed fucking everything. Should have been driven right to a scrapyard, should have been towed to a fucking scrapyard, should have been towed in, should have been towed back out. It was not. It was driven in, it was driven out. They bought nothing. They didn't want to know anything about it. I started to make an estimate. I realized that it was going to take me about 4 hours to give an estimate written up for this. It was going to probably take another 2 hours to call all the places to get all the parts and the prices and all that. And they were not going to fucking buy it. But my boss insisted that they make an estimate. And guess what they bought? They bought nothing. They bought nothing. You know, I mean, this was a few years ago, but I'll bet they drove that car for another 6 months. And I'd be very surprised if it didn't break down catastrophically somewhere in the middle of the fucking road. Hopefully not a highway. Hopefully not with their young Sprague in the back seat strapped in like fucking John Glenn orbiting the fucking planet. You know, seriously, you have to start thinking about other people when your car is fucked up. Because you could easily kill somebody in your car. You could easily kill somebody in another car or a whole bunch of people in a bus. We know what they're doing. And or people who are pedestrians, people who are on a sidewalk, people who are in their yard even, people who are even in their fucking house. I've seen cars in and on top of fucking houses. And you have to wonder to yourself, what the fuck happened there? And a lot of times you never figure it out. I mean, you know, maybe there was a mound of dirt there and somebody lost control of their car. The brakes went out. And next thing you know, it's the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. There's their car on the roof of your fucking house. Jesus Christ. Take it fucking easy, will you? Listen, and we know as technicians that, and this happens a real lot to me. I'm sure it happens a lot to you guys. You get a car in, you're looking it over, and it's like, fuck, this thing should not be driven. You know, the brakes are metal to metal. The tires have cords showing. All the fucking control arms are all fucking wasted. All the ball joints are wasted. And it should not be driven. And you make an estimate, and then the customer declines all work. It's like, fuck. And then you know, they take off in it. They leave in it. And you're just like, this guy's out there somewhere. This guy or this girl, sometimes it's women, just out there driving around with this fucking thing. And it's just headed for an accident. That's all. You know, it's like Ron White used to say, how far can I get with this car? All the way up to the scene of the accident. It's ridiculous. And you know what? We're out there, okay? We're out there also driving our cars sometimes, driving customers' cars. What a mess that can end up being, right? I'm sure as I'm sitting here right now spewing out this podcast that at some point, some technician out there has taken a car, looked it over, and then test drove it and recommended all kinds of suspension work, tires, brakes, whatever. Customers declined it and then came to pick up the car as that same technician is test driving a whole nother car. And while they're trying to test drive that car, the customer who declined all the repairs that they needed on their car pulls out and fucking hits them because their brakes fail, because the tire blows out, or because they couldn't steer the fucking thing. I'm sure it's happened. And then the lady gets, I don't know how this happened. And the technician's standing there going, I know how it happened. You declined all the fucking work I tried to sell you, you dumb bitch. It's like, fuck, you needed all kinds of work on your car, as you can see now. Why, dumbass? And thanks. Thanks for hitting a whole nother customer's car. You fucking, ugh. I'm sure it's happened somewhere, okay, because this plant's got too many people on it for a scenario like that to not have ever happened, okay? So that's what I'm trying to say to you guys out there. Hey, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. I wanted to try to find some stuff on driving. And I found an awful lot of shit. And some of it's not real helpful. And some of it is helpful. Here's one. This is a Forbes article. And Forbes does a pretty good job. I think they have actual, honest-to-God, professional journalists working there. And some of their stuff is pretty good here. What this is, I want to pinpoint for you, okay? I'm trying to help you out here. As your Uncle Jimmy, any uncle that you might have for real, or maybe even imaginary uncles or fabricated uncles such as myself, we're always going to be trying to look out for you. We're going to be trying to look after you. We're going to be trying to help you out and do things for you, make your life easier and safer whenever we possibly can. Sometimes we fail massively. What can you say? We're trying. That's all we can do. This particular website is Cities with the Worst Drivers Ranked. Top 10 cities with the worst drivers. And I think that some of these will kind of amaze you. Some of them will surprise you a little bit. Maybe some of them won't. If you're living there, you're definitely going to shake your head. Oh, yeah. It's bad here. But you know what? Honestly, no shit, really. It is bad everywhere. And we're going to talk about that a little later. There are actually scientific reasons why people think that they know how to drive when in reality, they fucking do not. And you know, I don't know if maybe that's a gene that is missing in your Uncle Jimmy. I know I'm a bad driver. I know that because I can see the terror. I mean this honestly too. I can see the terror that washes over anybody who ever rides with me. I see them push their foot through the floor like they're trying to stop the car. I see them looking at everything I'm not looking at and wondering if A, I'm going to hit it, and B, if they're going to have it surgically removed from their abdomen or their asshole or possibly their ear hole or somewhere. No, really, I am a bad driver. Okay. I don't think I would be a very good race driver because my thing is I'm kind of fearless, and in reality I should be very fearful, but I'm not. And also too, I'm a very aggressive driver from the Northeast where we just want to get where the fuck we're going, and all we really want is for you to get the hell out of our way. We don't want to get the fuck out of my way. Okay. Seriously. If you're not going to drive a car faster than a horse could run, what was the reason for inventing the fucking thing? Okay. Get out of my way. And then, of course, I bristle heavily and massively whenever I run into somebody who actually drives faster than me, which isn't very often. So what I want you to do is I want you to be out there, be safe. If you're gonna have your baby drive your car, tell her to be safe and slow down and drive properly. There's nothing you can do about people in other cars, so you have to watch out for yourself. But if you're going to watch out for yourself, I want you to watch out for these top 10 cities, okay? This is where it is really fucking bad. And what they did was they figured out that they're bad by figuring out how many fucking people get killed in car accidents per 100,000 people. And that, wait a minute here, highest number of fatal car accidents involving a distracted driver, also fatal car accidents, and highest number of people killed. You know, I thought fatal accidents were the same thing. People killed in fatal crashes. Oh, I think that hold the spot, fatal car accidents involving speeding, and then also highest for the number of fatal car accidents involving drunk drivers. So they've got three separate categories here: distracted drivers, drunk drivers, and speeding drivers. Number one on the list, drum roll, please. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Holy shit, really? I don't even think they have bad weather very often, but guess what? They drive like shit in that town. They have the highest number of fatal car accidents involving a distracted driver, 5.42 per 10,000, 100,000, excuse me. If it was 10,000, holy shit, that would be high. Third for highest number of fatal car accidents. Albuquerque, third highest number of people killed in fatal crashes. Let me see why it's different here. Ranks third highest for total number of fatal car accidents. Oh, fatal car accidents. That means that maybe a person in another car that you fucking hit died. That was 17 per 100,000 residents. And then number of people killed in fatal crashes, which would be you. That was 18 per 100,000. Fifth highest spot for number of fatal car accidents involving speeding, 5.5 per 100,000. So they speed there and then they crash a lot. And then sixth highest for fatal accidents involving drunk drivers, 4.6 per 100,000 people. Okay, so that makes Albuquerque, New Mexico, number one on the list as the most dangerous fucking place. It says here their score is 100 out of 100. They are fucking pretty bad drivers there. Now, I've never been to New Mexico, but I work with a lot of dudes from there, so I'm going to check with them. And I will let you know if they agree or do not agree with that. They came to two, three of them came to work with us a few years ago, and they're good dudes. I think that they're pretty good drivers. I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they killed somebody, had to get the fuck out. Who knows? Hey, number two on the list was Memphis, Tennessee. It says that they're just as deadly as they are in Albuquerque. They're only behind by a little bit. They need to step it up. Memphis, Tennessee, you know, the weather's typically pretty good in both Albuquerque and Memphis, so they don't have that as something that they can point to, but they have 24 per 100,000 fatal car accidents, 7.5 per 100,000 in drunk drivers, and fatal crashes, 25 per 100,000 residents. That's fucking real high. So you are likely, if you go to Memphis, man, you might catch a glimpse of the King, Elvis Presley, or, you know, you might have some good barbecue. You might go down a Beale Street, but you know what? You have a pretty good chance of getting killed in a fucking car crash. So take it easy when you go to and or from Memphis, Tennessee. It also ranks eighth for fatal accidents involving distracted drivers, and that's 1.3 per 100,000. So Memphis, Tennessee, pretty dangerous fucking place to go as far as the automobile is concerned. Drove there once myself, actually. I've driven there, driven through there probably three times now. Went there once a few years ago. Drove in at about 1,000 miles an hour in a rental car. That was sort of cool. And then the last two times came through in my truck and then came through with a U-Haul. I got through there without any trouble, but I was real careful, especially with the fucking U-Haul. It had a bunch of shit in it. Next on the list, Detroit, Michigan. Very dangerous place to be. Total number of fatal car accidents per 100,000 citizens is 19.7. Yeah, that's real fucking high. Also, to number of people killed in fatal crashes, 21.4 per 100,000. That's a lot of fucking people, boys and girls. That's a lot of people. I think that they're trying to get that top spot from Albuquerque out there. Drunk drivers, 6.5 per 100,000, and speeding, 6.8 per 100,000. So take it easy in Detroit, especially if you're over there on that Woodward Avenue where they used to drag race all the cars from from Chevrolet and Dodge and Ford. Sometimes those people still go crazy drag racing on that darn road, okay? And, you know, make sure you honk when you go down mile eight might road and say hello to Eminem. Number four is Tucson, Arizona. I'm sorry, folks, not a bad weather city. See, Detroit's got a little bit of an excuse because it snows there and gets shitty there. Tucson, Arizona, no such fucking animal, man. What are they, number four on the list? Yeah, the weather there is usually pretty freaking nice. Yeah, Tucson, Arizona. Roads have many dangerous drivers, and the city ranked poorly in all of the following categories. Fatal car accidents is 16 per 100,000. Fatalities, 17 per 100,000. Sixth highest in speeding, 4.9 per 100,000. Drunk drivers, 4.3 per 100,000. 10th highest in distracted driver accidents, 1 per every 100,000. There's just a, you know, and the distracted driver thing, I think I have the solution for that problem, but nobody is going to like it. Nobody is going to like it at all. I believe that if you're driving down the road and your car is moving, that a device should sense wheel speed and it should disconnect your phone from the internet. That would make it worthless to most of you. It would make it worthless. You'd have to put it down. And people are like, oh, but what if I want to look at something while I'm sitting at a stoplight? Well, if you're not fucking moving, it'll work. But as soon as you start moving, as soon as the thing senses you have a little bit of wheel speed, shuts the shit off. As soon as the wheel speed goes to zero, comes back on again. I'm telling you, it would be so fucking simple to make this device. It would probably save a lot of fucking lives. It certainly would save me some blood pressure fucking PSI. When I'm at a light, it turns green and a dickhead in front of me is fucking looking at YouTube on his fucking phone and doesn't see the light turn green. And I have to hit the horn and scream out the window because the horn don't work. Hey, asshole! Somebody please invent that for me, would you? I know a lot of you guys out there are real super handy with computers and soldering irons and shit like that. I know it can be done. I know it's not hard. Fuck, they have cell phone blockers all over the fucking place. Churches, fucking, you know, other places like that, schools and shit. Just get one. Wire it into my car. I'll test it for you. I mean, I'm not sitting there looking at the fucking thing when I'm trying to drive down the road. I don't do it. When I put directions on my phone and I have the fucking phone telling me where to go, it will talk to me. It'll say, in 1 mile, turn right. Your destination is on the right. I don't got to look at the fucking phone to know I got to turn right in a mile. I heard it. I fucking heard it. My brain was able to comprehend it. I don't have to pick it up and look at it and go, I got to turn left in a mile. Or right, whatever which way I'm fucking turning, you know? I'm not going to pick it up and look at it and not look at the road while I'm doing that. Because as soon as I do that, and this happens to me all the time, I know it happens to you too, you could be paying attention perfectly good. You're watching where you're going, you're watching where you're going, you're watching where you're going for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. You look away for one goddamn second. And I mean literally one fucking second. That's when that guy in front of you decides to hit his fucking brakes. You look back and next thing you know, you're in a full-blown panic stop. And sometimes that's a fucking problem, you know, because somebody's tailgating you or maybe you're too close. You're tailgating somebody and you hit the brakes and you got to fucking go off the side of the road. And maybe you hit a pedestrian. Maybe you hit a guardrail. Maybe you don't die, but somebody else dies. It's just not good. It's not good. So let's work on a way that makes phones useless while the fucking car is moving. All right, moving on. Tucson's pretty dangerous, and it doesn't have any fucking excuses. So if you're in Arizona right now listening to me, pull your head out of your ass and start paying attention to where the fuck you're going. But you're not alone, okay? Don't feel alone. Don't feel left out. Kansas City, Missouri is number 5 on the list. Apparently, it sucks to drive there. Kansas City ranks 4th highest for number of fatal car crashes at 5.3 per 100,000. 5th highest in fatals, 15.7 per 100,000. And they just keep repeating the same thing here. Dallas, Texas is also not good. Closely follows Kansas City. Sure. I've driven through Dallas. I have never driven through any of these other. Actually, I said I drove through Memphis, and I have driven through Detroit once or twice. I didn't notice that the driving there was any worse than where I came from, to be honest with you. In Dallas, I did see some of the highways in Dallas, the way they're set up, are not so good. There was a famous incident there a few years ago where one guy was driving through parts of Dallas, and he caught one in the back of the head. So you got to be careful of that. Okay, some guy shot him from a place where they keep school books. It's not fucking cool. Okay, you're going to get shot. You want to be shot outside of a club or something, you know, especially a banging club. Getting shot in front of a fucking school book depository. How fucking cool is that? Not very. All right. Yeah, Dallas has some crazy highway setups. And I think that's one of the reasons why they might. Plus, too, they have a lot. I mean, Dallas by itself is a pretty fucking huge city. I think it probably dwarfs all the other cities on this list. I don't think any of them come close to the size of Dallas. Dallas is just fucking huge. And Dallas and Houston and New York, cities like this where they're really, really big, you're going to have a lot of people driving like really big fucking assholes. Let's see here. 7th highest in fatal crashes, 15 point for 100,000. Fatal car accidents, 14 for 100,000. Drunk drivers, 6.2 per 100,000. So it's pretty dangerous to drive in Dallas. Louisville, Kentucky rolls in at number 7. See, much smaller place. And sometimes in Kentucky, the weather isn't that great. But, you know, really they don't have the excuse that you might have if you live in somewhere like Buffalo or Montreal or some shit like that, where it just fucking snows from the end of October till the beginning of fucking May. And that contributes to the fact that some people don't know how to drive, and they really shouldn't even fucking attempt to try. Louisville comes in at number 7. I'm going to skip the facts and figures here. They didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, but I didn't put the article together. So number 8 on the list is Phoenix. And again, here they don't have any fucking excuse. They're just not good at driving there. It might be the heat. I don't know. Them and the people from Tucson, they can go out and crash into each other all they want. I've never been there. Probably not going to go there. Not a big fan of the heat. Would like to visit someday. Maybe that would be cool. But I'd also like to visit a lot of other places, you know, like the moon or Mars or shit like that. Not going to get there either. Not going to get there either. Okay. Fort Worth, Texas, which is really part of Dallas. Fort Worth, and you got to see it. Look it up on a map. Fort Worth and Dallas are basically one fucking city that is kind of fucking just kind of squeezed together, kind of like one of those people who's born with two heads. Yeah, and they don't drive very well there either. Go figure, right? Just 3 spots behind Dallas. I don't know why Fort Worth is better than Dallas. It's the same fucking place, really, basically. And if you've ever tried to go across from Fort Worth to Dallas on Route 20 or Route 30, you'll understand why they're on this fucking list. They're not good drivers down there in some cases. I think what a lot of them have a problem with is that they're driving these fucking enormous fucking trucks, and they can't even fucking see you. And a lot of times they have a pair of testicles hanging from the trailer hitch. That's always fun. Number 10 on the list, Tampa, Florida. Holy freaking shit. Now, listen. I want to tell you something about Tampa, Florida, okay? Tampa, Florida is a really nice little town, really nice little city. And every once in a while, they catch up with a hurricane coming in from the Gulf Coast, but that's very rare. So they really don't have an excuse for being bad drivers, I don't think. So if you're from Tampa, Florida, get it together and start driving a little better, okay? I want to see you come off this list in the future. But what I'm trying to demonstrate with this is that really wherever you are, okay, and let's say you're working in Tucson, Arizona, just to say you're working somewhere, okay? You don't want to be one of these fatalities that's listed here, okay? Because when I say there, you know, 4.3 deaths per 100,000, you don't want to be one of those deaths per 100,000, especially if you're driving a customer's car and you're at work. Man, that has got to be, I mean, honestly, really, in my mind, the worst fucking thing that could happen to you is to die at work and to die in somebody else's car. So let's not let it happen, okay? Let's pay attention out there. And you really, I honestly, if you drive any car, but especially a customer's car, you need to just be extra, extra, extra careful. Because if you wreck, you know, if you wreck your car, like mine, I got rear-ended about a month and a half ago, and it pissed me off because the guy behind me was just like, oh, so sorry. Well, why don't you fucking pay attention where you're going? And I could tell as soon as he got out of the car, he was one of these fucking jack-offs who's always looking at his phone. And he, you know, his insurance company came through and they paid me, and I even made a little money. I fixed my bumper myself and shit, but I didn't want to have to do any of that fucking shit. You know, I didn't want to have to do any of that fucking shit. And I was just on the fucking road, and we just happened to be stopped because the traffic down here where I'm at is just fucking stupid. It's stupid. They had the highways all set to go, and traffic was fucking zoom, 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 and all of a sudden they just closed all the roads off, you know, made three lanes down into one, and now they're going to build some fucking flyover or some shit. It's like, what the fuck? They're never fucking done fucking with the roads where I live. They're never fucking done, ever. They're never done. They're out. I bet you right now, it's like almost 10 minutes to 10 on a Tuesday. I will bet you $1,000 that there's probably fucking two dozen guys down at the end of my driveway fucking with the road. They're digging some shit up. They're laying pipe or something. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I'm not going to stop and ask them. I don't really care all that much. I just wish they were fucking done. But every fucking night they're out there fucking digging and fucking, I don't know. Honestly, when I drive by, they're not actually doing a fucking thing. But that's the way it goes sometimes, right? So seriously, if you're out there test driving cars for people, I can't state this enough. You got to be careful. I mean, plus two, it would suck if it was your fault. It would really suck if maybe you hit something or something jumped out in front of you, or a car stopped fast in front of you, weren't looking, and you smashed up a customer's car. This is the worst thing that can happen. Here's something else that I found, and this was kind of crazy, and I think that the podcast really needs a different level of craziness, maybe good craziness instead of bad craziness after a while. This was a article that I found that was about why people drive like shit. And it was kind of fucked up. And I wanted to kind of broad stroke it for you if I could. It says here, 6 scientific reasons people drive like assholes, which I thought was perfect because that's what we always have. People drive like assholes. And let me tell you something right now. I don't exclude myself from this. I wish I drove a lot better. And sometimes I drive just fine, but other times I'm just not paying attention. Fortunately for me, I don't have to go too far to get to work and vice versa, getting back home again. But sometimes I take long road trips because I'm in Texas and everything is 3 hours away. Unless you want to go to El Paso, and that's 3 days away. I saw a stat the other day. It says you could drive from Houston to El Paso, and then from El Paso to L.A., you could drive from El Paso to L.A. faster than you could drive from Houston to El Paso because it's farther away from Houston than it is from L.A., and it's still in Texas. It's ridiculous. This state's just freaking huge. One of the things I kind of like about it, everything is actually bigger in Texas, except – well, never mind. This was a crazy little article from the Cracked People. It says here, 6 scientific reasons people drive like assholes, and they're just kind of goofing on the whole thing here. It's from a few years ago. Number 6, you just finished playing a racing video game that can cause you to drive like shit. Okay, I guess. That just sounds a little ridiculous. Number 5 is called, and this one is a little bit more scientific. It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect, and what it states is, in effect, that people don't know how fucking stupid they are. Basically, a couple of psychologists came up to this. They described the phenomenon as someone being unskilled and unaware, and basically they're just too stupid to know that they suck at it. And that's what it says here, basically. And I think that that's the way it is with a lot of people who think that they know how to drive. Because if you ask people, and I had this just happened to me actually, I was in a class. Many years ago, I had gotten a DWI long time ago. I haven't even had a drink in 30 years. So, I mean, this is how long ago this was. But I had it was in the 80s. Yes, that's right. I'm an old guy, okay? All you people out there who are doing the math right now, fuck you. Don't worry. I know I'm old. But we had this class, and there was about 6 motherfuckers. I don't know. It was more than that. Probably about 8 people there who'd gotten DWIs. And every single one of them, with the exception of myself, was indignant. They were like, "Oh, I only had one drink. I only had, you know, a couple beers. I wasn't drunk. I only right." And then they asked them, and this was funny because they asked everybody in the room. They said, "Rate on a scale of 1 to 100, rate how well you drive." And I'm in the group too, so I got to rate how well I drive. And I wrote. I'm thinking to myself, "Okay, you follow too close. You're a really, really big tailgater. You speed. You don't signal sometimes. You like to do burnouts. You know, I'm just a straight up hot rodder, boys and girls. Straight up, age has not diminished this at all. At any given time, I could be out in the parking lot just fucking roasting the tires on my 68. But these other people, will say they were eight of them. These other eight people rated themselves as drivers in the 95 to 100 rate. They all felt like they were absolutely fantastic drivers, all of them. I mean, there was no hundreds there. Nobody really thought they were 100 out of 100, but there was a couple of 98s, a 96. There was one guy who said he was a 95. I think everybody was within 99 or 95 in that small area. They all thought they were really good at driving. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, you people don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You people drive like shit. You got pulled over for DWI. How good of a driver can you be? And then they get to me, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. I am very familiar with how good I am and how good I am not at certain things. And it's kind of a fatal flaw of your Uncle Jimmy. He knows that he's not that fucking, he knows he's not that fucking bright, you know? I gave myself a 70. And I thought, really, honestly, I was being kind of generous with myself. I'm just not that great of a driver. I can freely admit, I follow too close. I'm a tailgater. I speed. I don't use the turn signals. I'll give you the finger instead of turning the turn signal on. I'm just bad at it. I'm bad at it. I'm speeding all the fucking time. I will brake check the fuck out of you if you're behind me and you're tailgating me. But all these people thought that they were just fucking fabulous at driving. And the instructor, I remember the instructor looked at me and he was like, what? You gave yourself a 70? I go, yeah, I'm just not that good at it. I go, obviously I got popped for DWI. It can't be that good at all, you know? It's not like I'm Steve McQueen from Bullet, for fuck's sake. You guys caught me, you know? And he goes, wow, that's really unusual. I go, are you kidding me? And he goes, well, what do you think of all these other people? I go, all these other people drive like shit and they don't even fucking know it. And he goes, yeah, well, you're not wrong about that. And everyone's like, oh, no, I'm a good driver. Yeah, fuck you. You are not. And that's one of the things that I need to implore to you as technicians who drive other people's cars. Listen, if you're not paying attention, if you're looking at your phone when you drive, or if you're eating a fucking sandwich, or maybe you're jacking off, or maybe you're doing who God even knows what while you're driving, you are not a good fucking driver. Stop fucking thinking that you are. Fucking rate yourself more accurately. Because if you don't, you're going to get into a situation where you're not a fucking 95% or a 99% driver. Well, you're more like a fucking 45% driver because you've got a few cocktails in you and maybe you got your pants half off and maybe you're eating a sandwich and you're looking at your phone and you're not even driving a fucking car. And then believe me, if you're stepping on the fucking pedal to the right, the car's moving forward and you're not paying attention, it will run into something eventually. So fucking pay attention. Jesus Christ. And the other thing you need to know is, okay, maybe, just maybe, you're not as great of a driver as you think you are, but all the other fucking people out there, according to this Kruger-Dunning effect, Dunning-Kruger effect, they don't know how fucking much they suck at driving too. They don't know. So all these people out there, fucking millions of us, think we're the best fucking drivers in the world and we all suck. We all suck at it. So you have to be careful. You have to, and I'm just trying to demonstrate to you that you need to be careful out there if you're driving around, okay? Number four on this was, it says, the safer they feel, the worse they drive. And I don't know if this is actually true, but I can only speak from my own experience. I have set off airbags before. I've had airbags in vehicles since the 90s. The fact that I have an airbag doesn't make me feel any safer. It doesn't make me drive any worse than I already do. To me personally, it has no effect on how well or how poorly I drive. I do drive poorly. I need to step it up. What I do now is that there was one point in time where I was not paying attention very well at all. And this was even before cell phones were a big thing. There was a time where I had to sit myself down and have a long talk with myself and say, listen, you need to fucking straighten up and pay attention and concentrate when you drive, because you can't keep driving the way you are or you're going to end up dead. And that's a speech, that's a little talk I'd like to have with every one of you and everyone else on this fucking planet too. But I'll start with you guys here at the podcast first and we'll go from there, okay? I don't know about this, the safer they feel, the worse they drive. The automobile has definitely, there's no question about it at all, has become safer. If you crash one up, there's a chance that everything will shoot itself out of the way of the passenger compartment and leave that completely intact, at least up to certain speeds anyway. I mean, obviously, you cannot go 100 miles an hour into a wall and expect to live. It's not going to happen that way. The laws of physics are definitely enforced 100%, whereas the laws of man are like, yeah, if we feel like it. So if you're going to try to break or bend the laws of physics, you are going to fucking lose. So don't be like that. If you feel safer because of what you drive, well, that's okay. But you need to know in the back of your mind, yeah, not so much. Because I don't care what kind of car you have. You drive it 100 miles an hour in a wall, you're going to die. Drive it into the water and you don't get out in time, you're going to die. If you catch it on fire and you can't get out of the car, you're going to die. And if people are with you, they're going to die too. So let's be careful, especially if we have other people with us, okay? Number three on this list was his or her genes. Apparently, the ladies are better drivers than the men. I've kind of known that for a while. Although they have a tendency to drive a lot slower than men do. Also, too, there's some scientifics. This is what it says here. The human body produces a protein called BDNF, which is responsible for maintaining the health of our synapses. Okay, and our synapses are the little tiny fleshy things in our brain that help us remember things. It's almost like a computer. You can almost think of it as ones and zeros. They have a tendency to go bad. And when they do, you get a thing known as dementia and Alzheimer's. My mother had it. I'm pretty sure I have it. If you listen to this podcast long enough, you'll be like, oh, yeah, we've heard it. driving is one of those tasks that requires this sort of decision-making and good motor skills that this BDNF production allows you to do more appropriately and better and faster, okay? So a lot of times if you feel like your mental capacity is not up to snuff and your synapses are working a little slow, or is it synapses? I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Of course, I'm sure that I'll find out how it's supposed to be pronounced in a small blurb that shows up with the podcast. But this is the kind of thing that helps you to process input and quickly and learn from memory as to what you need to do to keep yourself safe, to keep the car going right. And some people have trouble with this. Okay, I freely admit I'm having trouble with it. I like to take a memory supplement. I almost forgot that I take a memory supplement, but I know how to drive properly, and I can. And but you're going to have to figure out if you know how to. So you let your own kind of awareness start with you. That's what we're trying to point out here is, look, if you're not sharp mentally, you may want to avoid getting behind the wheel, whether it's if you're not sharp mentally because you just woke up or you got hit in the head or you have a concussion or maybe you're drinking, maybe you're doing some other drug of some sort, maybe you're just, you know, doing whippets out of a fucking whipped cream can of some sort, you might want to fucking hide the keys, okay? All right, moving on here, number two. And this was kind of a funny one because I got a little story about this one. But all right, number two on here, it says their car smells like shit. Okay, now apparently, and this is weird. I thought it was weird. It says apparently if a car smells like shit, it makes you more aggressive and has an adverse effect on your driving ability. Now, if you're a mechanic of any kind and you ever test drive things, you know that other people's cars sometimes smell bad. Sometimes they smell good. I've had, as a matter of fact, there was one today that had a smell that I hadn't smelled in many, many years. And it wasn't a bad smell, but it smelled an awful lot like a bar that I used to go to years ago. And I had a hell of a lot of fun in that bar, as you can imagine. And so it kind of, I mean, in the olfactory senses, one of the things you got to know about the sense of smell, your olfactory senses, is that it is the number one sense that evokes memory. It's the number one. Okay. So if you smell something that you haven't smelled in a while, and maybe it reminds you of a good time, maybe it reminds you of a bad time in your life, this is going to flood your brain with memories. That smell, a smell, a good smell, a bad smell even. Sometimes, obviously, if something smells like shit, it's just going to remind you that, wow, that stinks. And then you want to get the fuck away from it. I'm lucky, I think. I want to say I'm lucky because a lot of the cars that I work on typically treat it a little bit better than they would be at like an indie or possibly a car dealership where the cars they sell are a little cheaper. those people have, you know, and I'm making a general assumption here, making a generalization that people who buy cheaper cars and can't afford a really high line car like the ones I work on, they might have more dubious hygiene habits and regimens than the people that I encounter. People whose cars I encounter anyway. I don't typically encounter the people. And sometimes the cars that I work on do smell bad. I had one famous one a while back where the guy had a car. He only had it for like 1,000 miles and it started to smell really, really bad. And he found that, I found this, that his son had taken a half-eaten burrito and stuck it in a door pocket on the passenger side about a week or so earlier. And this was in Texas in the middle of the summer. So it was just a little bit warm. So we got that out of there, and now that car, hopefully that car smells okay now. The owner has bruised the bottom of his teenage son. He probably should have. That's just a stupid move. It's like, oh, I don't want to eat this burrito. I'll just throw it in here. Duh. Same kind of bullshit that, you know, a lot of kids pull. They just don't think about shit, you know. So that's another thing, too, that you need to consider. Also, when you're trying to drive a car, is that there's people out there, and I make a joke out of it. It's not really a joke, but it's just kind of a generalization. It's like, look, people out there today who are driving their cars learned how to drive from their father or their brother or their boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, and then their father, boyfriend, brother learned how to drive from their father or brother, and then they learned how to drive from their father or their brother, and then they learned how to drive from their father or their brother, and then that guy used to ride a fucking horse because that was before cars were invented. Okay, so it's a really relatively short period of time. Cars haven't been around that fucking long. So there's people out there who are related to people that maybe they even met who never ever learned how to drive a car because the people that they were related to never owned a car, and because the people who they're related to, they didn't have even cars yet at all. They were born and lived their lives and died before the first cars were ever invented and or manufactured. Okay, so it's a young thing for people to drive cars. It's still, you know, what is it, 125 years or so now? There's still people who don't know how to fucking do it right. And fortunately for them, really, the government kind of has their back. I mean, you know, we have obviously the tire pressure warning and backup cameras and airbags and seatbelts and all that horseshit. So you could literally almost drive as bad as you want, and some people do, and still survives, okay? Now, as far as a car that smells like shit, it says here that they feel like that the worse a car smells, the more aggressive it makes you. And I'm not sure I agree with that. This is what it says, a nice big whiff of something nasty can induce feelings of hostility. Well, okay, I suppose, but cause you to drive more aggressively and increase your chances of being involved in an accident. So if you get into a car, you got a test drive and it smells like shit, just be a little extra careful. But it seems to me that it's only because you don't like what it smells like, and you might smell just fine to somebody else. And then number one on the list, because this is really more of a joke list here, it says, oh, you just watched The Fast and the Furious again. Listen, there is a, you know, and that's not... Hey, folks, honestly, that is a real thing, okay? Because there's a hell of a lot of media out there, all right? There's a hell of a lot of movies, TV shows, snippets on YouTube, Instagram that show sometimes choreographed car chases, such as, there's a million of them, okay? But such as, you know, Bullet with Steve McQueen and the Mustang chasing that Charger, or Fast and Furious, or the original Gone in 60 Seconds. If you've never seen that, fire that one up. That one is fucking wild. Also, too, the remake was pretty wild as well. And a lot of times you watch people drive like this, and you think to yourself, here you go again, thinking that you're better than you really are, and you're too dumb to know that you're not that good at it. But you might want to go out and try some of these things. I can assure you that when I was a wee lad, on Friday at 10 o'clock, I would always ask my mother if I could take the car, and she would always say the same thing to me. She'd say, when did you suddenly get a Southern accent? And of course, it was because I just finished watching The Dukes of Hazzard, and I had something I wanted to try. And I didn't have my own car, so I had to do it at my mom's Vega. So, Yeah, I wasn't going to really get that airborne, but it certainly didn't stop me from trying. Seriously, and there's also, you know, and this is the other side of it too. If you look at social media, you are going to see people who have gotten into car accidents because of some extremely stupid shit. So if you're going to watch the stuff where nobody gets hurt and everybody does a burnout at the end and the cops end up being friends with the guy they were chasing and, you know, all that kind of fucking fantasy bullshit, watch some of these videos where people have documented that people smashed into things and people fucked things up. That, you know, there was one out there where a guy lost a wheel off a truck and another vehicle came along and hit that thing, and that fucking threw that second car up in the air, like literally 20 feet, flipped it over and landed on its roof. That guy or girl, whoever was driving that, was just tooling along, minding their own fucking business. And because some asshole didn't know how to tighten his lug nuts up or fucking left them loose or just broke off or who knows why, but they hit that fucking thing and it just launched their vehicle up in the air. And it's quite possible it fucking killed them. Here's something else you want to remember too, is that there was a gentleman out there named Ken Block who used to drive around and do all kinds of crazy, wild shit with a car. He was a hoonigan and Gymkhana. I can't remember exactly which one it was here. But he became famous for basically driving at the very edge of being an asshole. And he was well-respected, but he's gone now. All right, so, you know, you got to remember, too, that there's some professional drivers. Dale Earnhardt, one. He passed away in a car accident at Daytona. Lots of other, Ayrton Senna, you know, these are guys who were absolutely excellent drivers, and yet they're not with us anymore, and they died in car accidents. How about Ken Block? He was the guy who drove, he made all these crazy videos, these Gymkhana videos, where he drove all over the place and did burnouts and everything. I mean, he just did crazy, crazy shit. And then he goes, he jumps on a snowmobile and he gets killed riding that fucking thing. And let me tell you something, your Uncle Jimmy has a little experience with that too. I almost killed myself on a snowmobile a couple of fucking times. So I don't ride snowmobiles anymore. In fact, to keep myself from riding snowmobiles, I fucking moved to Texas. Nobody has snowmobiles down here. They don't even know what they would look like if they saw it. They go, what the fuck is that? All right. So listen, don't let social media, don't let YouTube, don't let movies and TV shows fucking tell you how to drive. Okay. Because it's not fucking real. Okay. Obviously you'll know when you see a video where real people are driving because real fucking bad things happen to them. Be careful with your shit. And if you're going to do crazy stuff, try to find a closed course or plot of land to do it on. And if you kill yourself, oh, well, I hope you had fun. All right. So one of the things I wanted to do, okay, because test driving a car, as far as I'm concerned, is it's an important part of being an auto mechanic. You really need to be in tune with how a car drives, why it drives the way it does, and why it might not drive the way it should. And sometimes, and like I said, you've seen these on It Just Rolled In, and some of them are just amazing piles of shit, so you want to definitely be careful out there. But sometimes you see some of this fucking crap. You see some of the crap that people have and how poorly maintained it is and how maybe rotted it is, how fucked up it is, how worn out it is, maybe even how bad it smells, maybe even the fact that it's full of garbage or shit. And I wanted to just touch on this one real quick, and then we'll end the podcast this week. I got onto Quora, I think that's what it's called. I'm not sure. It's a site where it's a kind of a little bit cleaner, safer version of Reddit. And they asked, what would make a mechanic say no to working on a car? There was a lot of different stuff in here. Not all of it was because the car was in bad shape. There was a lot of different reasons why you wouldn't want to work on a car. There was one guy wrote in here. He gave a gentleman an estimate for repairing his Mercedes. It was going to be something like $6,000. He said he wanted it done for $2,000. This guy was in no mood for bullshit. Told him to fucking pack his shit up and get it the fuck off his lot. Here's another one where a guy, he did stereos and put in speakers and stuff like that, did a lot of electronic stuff. He had a guy that wanted to have a pro sound system put in his car. He agreed. The guy showed up and he had his trunk was completely fucking packed with shit. He told him, get the fuck out of here. I didn't really want to do it in the first place. There was another guy here. He wrote, and I just wanted to kind of broad stroke a few of these for you here. This one was a good one. Guy came in, said that he needed an exhaust system put on his car. He said he needed it right away. Yeah, they all say they need their shit right away. Then you go out after you spent all night working on it so you could have it that day, and it's still there the next day. Never came to got it. This particular guy, he says he wanted an exhaust system. He needed a muffler, all the pipes. And then he didn't believe it when we gave him an estimate that he needed all the pipes. We showed him physically that he needed all the fucking pipes. And then he said, okay, I'll let you do it. But if my mechanic friend says you put something on the car that I didn't need, I'm going to sue you. And so the guy said, well, if you're going to threaten to sue me even before we do the work, kiss my ass and take your fucking car and stick it up your ass and get the fuck out of here. And I think that's really the right thing to say. And let me just say this real quick to you, if you don't mind. And folks, I guess I forgot. So we'll put it right here at the end. There's a fucking absolutely unbelievably huge shortage of technicians. There it is. I said it. Every week I say it. There's a huge shortage of technicians. It's huge. And there's people out there that are passing for technicians, and that's a subject for a whole different podcast. But what I want to impart to you about that is that if there's people out there who need repairs to their car, they're really almost at the point where they have to bow and grovel at the feet of a mechanic. If they cannot figure out how the business end of a fucking pair of pliers works, if they don't know 9/16 from 14 millimeter, if they don't know how a screwdriver works, if they can't figure out how to put air in their fucking tires, they are going to pretty much owe us their lives if they want to have a working, safe to drive automobile. So with that said, let me say to you that you should not ever, I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't care what the size of your customer is. I don't care what your size is. I don't care how long you've been in the business. I don't care. If someone treats you like shit, tell them to hit the fucking trail. You do not have to take that shit from anybody. You do not have to. I don't care. And let me be more succinct, okay? If you're out there trying to earn a living fixing cars, believe me, there's an awful lot of cars out there that need to be fixed. There's an awful lot of customers out there who need to have their cars fixed. And there's an awful lot of good people out there who are willing to pay you a reasonable price to fix their car. But there is also a group of people who are unreasonable. It's also a group of people who think that you're going to rip them off when you're probably not. There's also a group of people out there who are going to treat you like shit. And I say, have none of it. Tell them to go and fuck themselves. And if you don't want to tell them, put them on the phone with your Uncle Jimmy. I will tell them, hey, this guy said he was going to fix your car for $300 and you think it should cost $100 and he says he doesn't want to do it. You know what he said to me? He said to tell you to go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, asshole. This planet, your life on this planet and this planet itself is you're not going to be here that long. 60, 70, 80 years tops, 90 in some cases, maybe 100. You ain't got the time to put up with fucking crap like that from some asshole who doesn't know the value of somebody who knows what they're doing. They don't know the value. Fucking relay it to them in the message. Go fuck yourself. I know I didn't want to get too angry. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's true. And I mean anybody really, if you've got a shop owner, a service manager, or maybe you got somebody you work with that, you know, feels like they can treat you like shit, especially if you're a mechanic. Shouldn't treat anybody like shit, could quite rank with you. But if you're a mechanic, a technician who's out there trying to earn a living, an honest living, working on cars and fixing them and making them right for people, and people are fighting you and calling you names and telling you that you're ripping them off and they don't want to pay you and you're just not getting the respect and the pay you deserve, then tell them all to go to fucking hell. Tell them all to go fuck themselves. You don't deserve that. And quite frankly, you don't have to put up with that. There is, like I said, a huge shortage of technicians out there. Look around. You'll find out what I'm talking about. And you can get treated better and get respect and more money somewhere else. You always can. And don't feel bad about it if you do it. Do not feel bad, because the people who own the garages and the dealerships, they're the ones who caused this whole thing by not paying, by not treating technicians and mechanics with respect, by not paying them a livable wage. They have ruined it. Nobody wants to do that job. Nobody wants to do that job. And the people who are doing it are right now plotting ways to get the fuck out of it. And that's the thing that the owners and the managers don't seem to realize, is that these people, you push them too far. And right now, these days, lately, All you got to do is push them a little bit, and you've pushed them too far. They're fucking done. They're gone. See ya. Bye, boy. That's really enough of your Uncle Jimmy here. Listen, if you're out there, have that, you know, baby, you can drive my car. That's okay. But let's be careful with it, okay? Because I don't want to hear about any of you people out there getting into an accident and having something bad happen to you or possibly even dying, okay? Because the rule is, and it's a standing rule, and it's going to exist until I'm gone. None of you out there are allowed to die before me. Don't fucking do it. I don't want to hear about it. Drive safe. Treat everyone like everyone else on the road like they're a complete imbecile and have no idea how an automobile works, and you'll be fine because they probably don't. Hey, baby, drive my car. Baby, you can drive my car. Can you really? Probably fucking not. All right, that's enough for your Uncle Jimmy. Hey, thanks again for what you do. I want you to be safe and happy and earn a lot of money and keep up the good work, and we'll see you.